We just thank you, Lord, that you are all-knowing, Lord. Thank you for the word that was with you in creation. That word is Christ. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you said it is written when you stood in battle in temptation. That was enough. The centurion said, just speak the word. It's enough. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We pray that it would go out. It would not return empty. But Lord, just as the dew waters the grass, so your word would accomplish all that you purpose it to do. In the mighty name of Jesus. That Holy Spirit, you would move amongst us. In the word, just as you are in the worship. That you would change us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, greetings from Effective Life Church. It is a joy for me to be here preaching because my son is there preaching. And I just think that's a lovely testimony. You know, it's really blessed me because my son was diagnosed with severe autism. And they said he would never speak, he would never go to school, he would never have a normal relationship with people, anything like that. I mean, he was written off. And, you know, I'm one of these people that if I fall over and break my leg, I can admit it. I'm not one of these people who say, well, if you don't confess it, you haven't got it. I'm one of these people who say, no, your leg's falling off, mate, you need some help, you're getting blood on the floor. But I am one of these people who says, my God is able. And years ago, I sat with all these doctors and everything else, and they said all this, and I said, you know what, I agree with you. There is a major problem, but he will not stay like that. You know? So two wonderful things in his life. One is a preacher, and he's preaching there this morning. Two is an Arsenal supporter. I mean, isn't God good? You can't get better, surely. You know? Because God supports Arsenal, you know that. Because, do you know why? Because he's a God of grace. And we need that grace. Well, Arsenal need that grace. Right. Okay, well, if you want a title for this morning, then it is simply The Anointing to Beat Goliath. The Anointing to Beat Goliath. So in way of setting the scene, Saul, the Israelites have seen that the other nations have got kings over them to rule them. But God had put over Israel priests to govern and rule. But the Israelites are very human and say, well, we want a king like the other nations have got a king. And how often we do that. I want what they've got. You know. And sometimes people will even covet the anointing on other people, let alone their Mercedes or BMW. Okay, and so the Israelites become fleshly and they say, well, the other nations have got a king. We want a king. And so God then allows Saul to become king. And Saul is anointed over Israel as king. However, Saul disobeys God's commands. And the Lord decides to choose a new king. Now remember, Saul was the people's choice. Be careful when you make decisions. Okay, is it your choice or God's choice? Okay, and many a time there are decisions that I could have made which were my choice, but I had to submit to God's choice. Amen. So Saul was the people's choice, but God sent Samuel to Jesse and said that one of his sons would take Saul's place. So 1 Samuel 16 and verse 4. Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" So his reputation is one of a very powerful prophet and judge. And immediately there's an element of fear as to why Samuel is turning up on their doorstep. And the first thing they ask is, "Do you come in peace?" And David asked people that in his lifetime as well. Do you come to me peacefully or are you a strife maker? You just come to spread gossip. You just come to get something out of me. David needed to know the reason why people were in his life. And it's the same for us. We need to know sometimes why people are in your life. Steve's one of my friends from our church and he came up with me today. And we were chatting on the way up about Jesus and saying, Jesus preached to the multitudes. okay? But those that he actually taught were fewer. But he preached to the multitudes. Then there were the 72. Then that went down to the 12. And then there were the inner circle of three. And Jesus seems to know where he's planting, what seed he's putting out, and who he's got around him. And it's all strategical and not just by chance. See, and we have to look, who are the people in your life and why are they there? Do you know why they're in your life? You know? And I was talking to my elders a couple of weeks ago, and Ricky's one elder and Tony's another. And I know why Rick is in my life, and I know the purpose that he serves in God's will in my life. And I know why Tony's in my life, but he serves a different purpose. But they're both elders, but they serve a different purpose. Okay? So we need to know. We need to be mindful. Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord." Consecrate yourself and come to the sacrifice with me. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. Now, the definition of the word consecration is to formally dedicate something for a religious purpose. So something was being set aside purely for the purposes of God. And we have been set aside for the purposes of God. And it doesn't matter where you've come from or what your background is. If God consecrates you, all the rest is irrelevant. And sometimes people can look and say, well, I don't think God should use that person or this person or that person. Or why is he using it? Do you know what? It's not down to us. That's down to God. And if God has consecrated them, who are we to stand against them? Because God has consecrated them. Amen? And we need to take that on board for ourselves sometimes. Sometimes we might not feel worthy or equipped or so on and so forth. And I've been down those roads. But we have to accept if the Lord consecrates us, that's enough. So consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice. Then he consecrates Jesse and his sons and invites them to the sacrifice. So there's two consecrations going on. There's one, they have to consecrate themselves. Secondly, Samuel's going to consecrate them as well. So that whatever this is going to take place is very, very important. And they must be ready. Okay? Consecration is a time of preparation. Preparation for something to be used. And sometimes we don't get ourselves ready because we're not quite sure what God's going to do. So we're not ready. But you know what? If you're a soldier and you're on the battlefield, you are always ready. You sleep with your stuff beside you. You are ready to go. Amen? And God uses people that are ready because he hasn't got time to wait around for you to get over yourself to be ready. Amen? So God uses those that are ready in their heart and willing, not necessarily able. Amen? We're ready, we're willing, but we're not able. You know? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's God that steps in and equips us. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed that stands before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Amen? Now, in the natural realm, Eliab looked the part. And sometimes, you know, we're looking for those who look the part. They make the mould. They're the right shape. Yesterday, my youngest son has joined the police cadets, which for our family is quite a novel thing. And I texted a photo of him yesterday, passing out, and I texted it to my eldest sister, and she texts back, wow, wonderful, amazing. What would mum and dad think? Because we were not from that kind of ilk, as it were. But God doesn't look at the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. He looks at the heart. And yesterday, when I was with him, he was doing all these photos and everything else. And afterwards, he said, you know, Dad, that two of the police officers started asking me questions about you. Son, there's only so much you should tell them. The blood of Jesus covered everything else, you know. But he turned and said, yeah, they started asking me about you. I said, well, what were they asking? He said, they were just trying to work out where they knew you from. I was like, oh, right. And then one of them remembered he'd worked under you at Caring Hands. And then the other one remembered he did his training under you as well at Caring Hands. I thought, isn't that amazing what God does? You know, absolutely amazing. And who he uses is down to God. It's down to God. The previous pastor of this church, the night my stepfather gave his life to the Lord, the previous pastor of this church many moons ago was a police officer. And as a police officer, he arrested my stepfather and put him in prison. Okay? Years later, there's a big conference going on. My stepfather gives his life to the Lord. The previous pastor, he's not a pastor at that point, is sitting in the congregation and watches him walk down the aisle. That police officer became best man at my father's wedding. Isn't that amazing? And then later went on to be the pastor at this church. It's the only God. See, you don't know. Don't write people off. Don't write yourself off. Okay? Because you don't know. God picks and he chooses how he will pick and choose. And sometimes I think he just does it to annoy us. To annoy our pride, to rub us up the wrong way. Yeah, I'm going to use them and I'm going to manifest in this way just to show you you've still got pride there. You don't like it, do you? Yeah, because you fell out with them and look at the anointing all over them. Oh, it's annoying you, isn't it? See, and sometimes God, that's just God. Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Jesse then had Shammah pass in front of Samuel. The Lord has not chosen this one. Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to him, the Lord has not chosen these. So he asked Jesse, are all these the sons you have? Well, they're still the youngest, Jesse answered. He's tending the sheep. Send for him, and I will not sit down until he arrives. Now, David is so low down in the pecking order that he's not even aware that there's a consecration going on. He's just out in the field because he's that far in obscurity. The father brings in front of him all his sons. There's none left. He only remembers David when challenged, do you have any more? See, I've met sound engineers who want to be preachers. And they're frustrated because they're on the wrong side of the platform. Not you personally, but, you know. And they're frustrated. And they think God can't see them. God can't see them because they're the sound engineer. But deep inside, there's a deep preacher. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter what field of obscurity you're in. God knows exactly where you're at. Is that God so small that he can't reach you? Is he that small? If God can't reach me in obscurity, then he is no God at all. God can reach you wherever you are. Amen? Even on the lake when there was the storm and it was all kicking off and everything else. And that lake's like 21 miles one way and 12 miles the other way and everything else. And Jesus turns up exactly where they are, exactly at the right time. It doesn't matter where you are. God knows exactly where you are. What's important is your heart. That's what's important. So David is so far down in the pecking order, he doesn't even go to be consecrated with his brothers. David is left in the field looking after the sheep. So he sends for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance with handsome features like Bromwell. Well, come on, you've got to make the most of it. Come on. Our young David. Now, his brothers were probably jealous, straight away. They were probably jealous of him, and they shunned David. See, people sometimes will reject you because of God, or because where God is going to take you. Years ago, I can remember I was asked to lead a pulse group, a life group. I was a young guy in the Lord. I was so excited. You think I've been you know, asked to preach at Wembley Stadium or something in front of millions. I mean, this was just the first time I was ever going to share at a house meeting. Little house meeting. Read like 10 sermons that day, you know, download everything I ever knew about God. I was going to, you know. And sometimes we put ourselves into, we put what we can into the situation. But you know what? God looks at the heart. God looks at the heart. And that time I was so excited, I was going to do... I mean, I totally mucked it up, of course, naturally. Totally mucked it up. But God looks at the heart. So now, David wasn't qualified in any way. He was rejected by his brothers. Now, Jesse and all his sons are qualified in the natural. They are qualified physically, and they are now qualified spiritually. Why? Because they've gone through consecration. So there is a qualification that any one of these men could be the one that Samuel's going to anoint. Okay? Yet we come across a major problem. And the problem is David has been called by Samuel, yet David is not consecrated. David had not been consecrated either by Samuel or by himself. All the other brothers with their father consecrated themselves. And then when they got there, Samuel consecrated them as well. But suddenly there's this young lad who's not consecrated, is forgotten about, hadn't even been invited to the party, as it were, doesn't know what's going on, yet God is going to step in and move in such a way that the anointing upon this one and the consecration upon this one will far outlast any consecration done by anybody else in all of history. Wow. But it doesn't look like it's going to happen. What was David's heart and David's attitude in the field? Oh, I'm left out. It's not fair. You know, you don't know the rejection. I can remember years ago, we were having a conference at a church and I was so excited and guest speakers would come in and I was young in the Lord. I'd think, oh, they might prophesy over me and blah, 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 blah. And I was all excited and everything else. And I couldn't wait for this conference to take place, 3-day conference. And then my pastor come up to me and said, do you want a job? I've like died and gone to heaven. What is it? What is it? He said, well, that door, whenever anybody comes in or out, when it shuts, it makes a slam. And everybody's eyes look over to the door. And he said, it's just annoying and distracting. So I want you to stand on the outside in... Yeah, thanks very much. Lap it up. I want you to stand on the outside in the corridor. And when people go in and out, just grab the handle so that it shuts nicely. And I'm like... Come on, where's 666? Just have done with it. I'm the Antichrist or something. Come on, I've been preparing myself. And now I've got to stand in a corridor for 3 days? No. And everyone walking past me is like, you're just the doorman. You're just like, you know. I'm trying to pretend I'm just walking through. I'm not here. You know? And I was gutted. But God tracks you down and knows exactly where you're at. Amen? Amen. God refines us and shapes us and showed me my heart. God did more with me in that corridor than them guest speakers could have done with me sitting on the front row. Because he was doing an inner work in me. You know? So don't despise some of those places. They're good places. It's what you do in them. So we had this major problem. David's not consecrated. He doesn't know what's going on. And you might feel yourself, well, I haven't been to Bible school or Bible college. I lack some formal training or preparation, you know. You know, you can learn all that you want to learn without the anointing of God. You will not flourish. It is the anointing. Study and show yourself approved. It's important to know the word of God. But it's got to coincide with the anointing of God. The anointing. And Daniel had wisdom and tact. He had the anointing that told him when to apply the wisdom. So you get people, they've got wisdom, but they've got no anointing. They've got no wisdom to match it. So they can say, they know the right answer. They just say at the wrong time completely, you know. But it's the anointing that gives us the wisdom. So this true and genuine consecration is about to take place in David's heart, and this is done by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus said, I will write my laws upon your heart. You've not missed your time. God has not missed you. Amen? What is your heart condition? See, God said of David, this is a man after my own heart. Not my own ability, not my own giftings, but my heart. So if we want to see a move of the Spirit sweep this nation, we've got to do something with the heart. It's the heart. The heart. The heart. Jesus was moved with compassion from the heart. Jesus didn't need to see manifestations. Jesus was all-knowing, knew everything was there at the beginning. Jesus was looking at the heart. See, and the work of the Spirit is a work of the heart. It's not a work of the head. It's not a work of knowledge. It's a work of the heart. It's a dissecting of who we really are, an exposing of our hearts so that God can minister and move magnificently. And Jesus, the miracles that happened was because of his heart. He was moved with compassion. When the woman with the issue of blood touched him, he knew that that power had left him. He knew the compassion. And yet everyone was pushing in against him. Disciples said, touched you? What do you mean who touched you? You're having a laugh. Everyone touched you. And he said, no, somebody's heart reached out. Somebody with faith in their heart. They touched me. See, and if you want to get the attention of God, it's with the heart. It's when you lay your heart open. You say, Lord, whatever. Whatever, your will, not mine, be done. Your will, Lord. Your will. Lord, I hope this and I hope that and this would be nice. And, you know, Ferraris make a nice colour red. But your will. Your will. And it's your will first. And David, despite his failures, was declared a man after God's own heart. Despite the biggest muck-ups. What an accolade that David had. We have to pick people to work with because of their heart, not because of their ability. The heart, the heart, the heart, always the heart. See, the danger is you go for the gifting, go for the ability, go for the gifting. You know, it won't last. The heart. So if you can go for the heart, the anointing is there with the heart. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. This is the one. And you can imagine all the brothers in the background in slow motion going, no, not David. And they probably looked down on him. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. Wow. In the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Wow. From that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. See, after the physical anointing with oil, there was a more important anointing that came on David, and that anointing of the Holy Spirit would rest on him and would give him a legacy that would last for all eternity. For all eternity. The legacy of David would last forever. Luke 1:32 says, speaking of Jesus, he will be great and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. See, David carries such an anointing, such a heart of God, a father in heart, that even Jesus, one of the titles deferred to Jesus, is that he will reign on the throne of David. Wow. Wow. Jesus Christ. The one who flung the stars into space at his fingertips. A mere man. A mere man in David is going to be a part of this diathy, the Godhead. And yet this man on earth is going to have a title imprinted upon that deity. Wow, that's incredible. You mean that me here, I can make a difference in the heavenly realm? It's not just about the heavenly realm making a difference here on earth, but in actual fact, the way I live can make a difference in all eternity? Wow. See, such a heart upon David, such an anointing upon David was incredible. Now, the anointing that we need is more important than experience. Okay? We need the anointing. Experience is good, but the anointing is better. Money is good, but the anointing is better. It's a higher currency. You know? Because if God has anointed you, he'll provide for you. Amen? See, sometimes we're saying, Lord, give me money. No, give me the anointing, because that covers everything. Amen? Anoint me, Lord, for what you've called me to. Now, as we know, David goes on to serve Saul, who's the current king, along with his army. And then you had the situation with the Philistines and their champion Goliath, who continually mocks Saul and his armies and God and the Israelites. And David takes offense. David gets offended when people begin to take on God. Okay? And he's offended and he can't understand why the brothers and everybody else aren't dealing with Goliath. Now, the reason they're not dealing with Goliath is because they haven't got the anointing to deal with Goliath. But David was anointed for a purpose. Okay? And sometimes we want the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. We want the Holy Spirit to move amongst us, but we just want it because it feels good and so on and so forth. But whenever the Holy Spirit manifests, it is for a purpose. See, the Holy Spirit's not an entertainment value. Oh, I would love to see the Holy Spirit do this. I'd love to. Do you know, if you love to see things, turn on the TV. I'll buy you a DVD. Okay? The Holy Spirit's not here for our entertainment. The Holy Spirit is here for purpose. Okay? And if you have no purpose, do not expect any anointing. Okay? Now, David's going to have to defeat Goliath. Okay? But he's going to do it because he's anointed. Now, when he was first anointed, he may not know the reason why. God knows. And he's anointed him ahead of time. And out of all the brothers, it's David who carries the anointing. Why? Because David carries the heart of the Father. And if God's going to anoint, he's going to anoint that he knows. And if he can't recognize Christ in you, then why would he anoint you? See, there's going to be a manifestation in the book of Acts, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which the Holy Spirit will come to that is his own. Amen? And there's an outpouring of anointing. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 34. But David said to Saul, "Your servant has already been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off the sheep from the flock, I went after it and I struck it. I rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair and I struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God." Now, from that text, we know that David is used to hand-to-hand combat. That's what he's used to, fisticuffs. He's physically grabbed the lion and the bear. He's grabbed their hair and he's stabbed them and he's killed them and he's beat them and so on and so forth. And so he is trying to qualify himself now to Saul to say, "Let me take on Goliath because here's my CV. This is what I've already done. I've already beaten a lion and a bear, and I will beat him." But David's trying to qualify himself naturally through experience. But God is going to deal with Goliath in a different way. Okay? He's not going to deal with Goliath the same way he dealt with a lion and a bear. See, and sometimes we walk into situations and we're dealing with everything the same way. Yet God manifests differently sometimes. At the beginning of this year, I felt the Lord putting on my heart, you know, Matthew, this year is going to be a new book, not a new chapter. Now, he said the reason it's not a new chapter, because a chapter is a part of an existing story or book, and it carries on the theme or the information through one chapter to another chapter to another chapter, okay? But God said to me, no, this is a new book completely, okay? Now, I liked that, and I didn't like it. I liked it because it's exciting and I'm a bit of an adrenaline junkie and I'm like, yes, come on, what's it going to be? And then I thought, oh dear, Lord, I know what your journeys can be like. Hang on a minute. And God was saying, I'm going to do things this year in your life that I'm going to just work differently. So I'm going to provide in ways that you've never seen me provide before. You know how I provide. But this year I'm going to do it differently. I'm going to manifest in your life in different ways to what you're used to. I'm going to make you uncomfortable. Don't look for me in the normal places that I can be found, because this is a new book and it's a new level and it's a new part of your relationship with me. And I'm going to expose myself in a different way to what you're used to. And so this year, marching through this year, every now and then I've had to say to my wife, it's a new book. It's a new book. I'm not sure how God's going to do it, but it's a new book. And I have to remind myself, don't expect God to provide that way. Don't expect him to do it this way. It's a new book. It's a new book. See, and sometimes we can become familiar with God, which is to put him in a box sometimes. Okay? But God is God. And I just want him to do it however he wants to do it. But it's a new book. Same author. Same author. But it's a new book. Amen? So with David, he faces a situation now where David is leaning on his experience of how he defeated the lion and the bear. And he thinks, well, I'm sorted. I'll defeat Goliath the same way. And he says to Saul, here are my qualifications. There's my CV. Let me go and do it. And Saul, who's petrified, just said, amen, wonderful, off you go. Here, have all my equipment and armor as well, which doesn't fit him anyway. Because he's got to stand in his own shoes. Never sit there wishing you could fill someone's shoes. Our God is a tailor, and he will make you your own shoes to stand in. Amen? You haven't got to sit there waiting for somebody else's anointing to fall upon you or your ministry. Okay? God will tailor make the shoes to fit you. Now, these words will ring familiar. Because you've already read them out this morning, so I believe God is really speaking to us. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defiled. Know the strength that you stand in. Amen? Yes, in the natural, it's just little old you. But in the supernatural, it's not just little old you. There's thousands upon 10,000 upon 10,000. The armies of heaven, the Lord of hosts. That is the might in which you stand. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day, I will give your carcasses to the of the Philistine army, to the birds of the air and the wild animals. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. See, heart comes through again. See, if somebody else was chosen to defeat Goliath, they would have probably turned around and said, and then, because I've took him out, everybody will know me. Everybody, my name will ring around the world. Oh, this is the great Frank who took out Goliath. See, but David's heart was to amplify God and not his own ministry. Okay, David was already anointed to be king, but he wasn't running after the throne. He was running after the heart of God. And you might already be anointed to be a pastor or evangelist or senior worship leader or this, that and the other. You know, don't run after it. If you're anointed for it, God will make a way. Run after the heart of God. See, if any of his brothers would have done it, they would have took the glory for themselves. But David had a heart after God. All those gathered here will know that it is not by the sword or the spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord, and he will give you all into our hands. And then the Philistine moved closer to attack him. David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it, and it struck the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sunk into the Philistine's forehead, and he fell down, face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and without a sword in his hand, he struck the Philistine down. And the Philistine down and killed him. Let me read that again. Without a sword in his hand, he struck the Philistine down. His natural experience that he was using to qualify himself, I've killed the lion and the bear, I've struck them down. God, he was going into a battle that if he tried to defeat Goliath the same way he defeated the lion and the bear, David would have been wiped out. David would have been wiped out. Hand-to-hand combat with Goliath, David would not win. See, and the trouble is, we go marching off into the battlefield trying to fight a new fight with our old mentality. And sometimes you've got to lay the weapons down, you've got to lay everything down, you've got to lay yourself down and say, Holy Spirit, fill me and anoint me because I don't know how this is going to happen. And David uses a slingshot instead of a sword. See, David is an expert in hand-to-hand combat. And David, as a military man, was one of the greatest leaders Israel ever had. And not just his own ability, but the ability of all those around him. And he won battle after battle after battle. But this particular battle was different. This one could not be experienced. This one could not be looking back. This one could not be the natural. This one, this battle was the Lord's. This was different. See, and it was the anointing that got David victory through this battle. It was not his experience. It was not his qualification. It was the anointing of God. What is the anointing of God? It's the personality of the Holy Spirit of God. And it was the Holy Spirit of God that David allowed the Holy Spirit to work through him. See, and we need to step into a new, a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. And we need to allow God to work through us. And it's not going to be the way it was. It's a new book. See, if things aren't changing in your life, then change something in your life. Don't just moan about it and say, well, our situation's the same as last year. You know, I said to Steve on our way up, there were two big visions I had for this year that I wanted for God to do. One was spiritual for our church and one was personal. And God fulfilled both of them. Both of them. Done. Easily as well. Easily done. Now, God did it differently to how I would have done it and how my wife would have done it. My wife's talking to me and she's on my case and she's like, da, da, da. I think, you know, yeah, but with this situation and that situation, the other situation, that's what, you know, and I'm having to look at my wife and say, yeah, but God's going to work differently. Yeah, but these are the circumstances, this is, yeah, but God's going to work differently. God's going to work differently. See, and it's uncomfortable for us. We don't want God to work differently sometimes. You know, we want God to work to the parameters of which we know. But see, you're never gonna break through and just see the miraculous if we put God in a box. We've got to walk on the water. We've got to step out. The most important thing in your service to God is your heart. It's your heart. It's from the anointing that you learn, you grow. It's from the anointing that you fight. It's from the anointing that you get wisdom. It's from the anointing that there's an impartation of gifts when necessary. David tried to beat Goliath the same way he defeated a lion and a bear. It was never going to happen. It wasn't by experience on the field that brought victory. It was the anointing of God. And that anointing is there for us today. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13 says this: from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. From that day, there was a bookmark in David's life and relationship with God and understanding of the things of the Spirit. From that day, something changed. From this day, something can change in your life. From this moment, God can manifest in such a way you would never believe it. Fulfill your dreams and your visions, turn your families around, equip you, open doors ahead of you. We've got to surrender to the Holy Spirit. It's the anointing. Psalm 51 verse 10, David cried, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me." He never said, "Don't take all my mighty men. Don't take all my money. Don't take my fame. Don't take my equipment. Don't take my armory." He said, "Don't take your Holy Spirit from me," because everything else sat within the anointing. See, when God anoints, everything will roll towards the anointing. It will all come. It will all come. The trouble is, we're out there trying to, how's this going to work? How's that going to work? How can we get this? How can we reach that target? How can we get our finances? How can we do? And we're burning ourselves out for a good intention. But we got it the wrong way around. Lord, if you would just anoint me, I know what that means. It means health. It means victory. It means provision. It means my family being turned round. It means our church growing. It means doors of greatness opening up ahead of me. It means I'm going to sit there laughing my head off because you put me in a place that I'm not qualified for. And I shouldn't even be there, and I'm going to feel guilty in that presence. But you've anointed me, and you will lead me before great men. See, you can just pray this one thing, and it will solve all the billions of things we're running around trying to sort out. Lord, the anointing. And David knew it. He said, "Take not your Holy Spirit from me." See, and it's the cultivation of that relationship with the Holy Spirit, who he is, his desires, what he wants, how he prompts. Even your salvation is dependent on the Holy Spirit, because you have responded to the prompting of the Holy Spirit unto salvation. Wow. It's that relationship. It's that partnering with the Holy Spirit. And he's always the greater personality in the partnership. Always the greater personality. And we play second fiddle to him. We say, "Holy Spirit, you have your way." David knew, if the Holy Spirit is taken from me, that's it. That is it. Then if we want to fulfill what God has for us, we need to lean more and more on the Holy Spirit. We need to ask, I pray, "Lord, give me a fresh anointing. Give me a fresh anointing. Lord, I pray that I would be anointed for today, for what this day holds. Anoint me, Father. Pour your Holy Spirit into me. Come, Holy Spirit, have your way. I may decrease, you may increase. My opinions are worth nothing in comparison with your presence." But sometimes our opinion's more important. We've got to win the argument, you know. It's more important, you know, to win the argument or to move under the Spirit of peace and be the peacemaker. Be the peacemaker. Not the peacekeeper, that's the job for the UN. They've got it easier to keep the peace, to make the peace. That's harder. That's harder to make the peace. It means you might have to lay down your rights. And you say, "Well, I'm laying down my rights. I lay them down. I take it off for the sake of peace. I don't need to win the argument. See, the Holy Spirit just manifests. See, the Holy Spirit, I bet the Holy Spirit was itching to get alongside David. I reckon when David was in that field with the sheep and the Holy Ghost with Holy Gore within him, in the heavenly realm, looking, saying, Father, let me just go. I just want to go. I just know David's heart. I want to be there. I know it's only a lion and a bear, and I know you've equipped it, but let me go and anoint him. Let me do it now. And the Father said, hold it. Hold off. Not yet. There's a specific anointing that he needs. Hold on. He needs to suffer and face some rejection from his brothers. He needs a bit of process in his life. He needs to go through some stuff. And then finally that moment comes when the Holy Spirit is released and anoints David, and it said it stayed with him for the rest of his life. Wow. And he never took it for granted. Why? Because it said, take not your spirit from me. Take everything else. Take my wives, take my children. And it happened. But not your spirit, Lord God. Wow. What a heart cry. The early church waited. Jesus said, now wait. Wait. You've got experience. You've seen what I've done. I've raised the dead. I've set captives free. I've fed the 5,000. The blind can see. The deaf can hear. But wait. Wait until the Holy Spirit comes with power. Wait. Hold on. And when he comes at that point, now you're ready. Now you're equipped. Why? Because you're doing it under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now you're ready. See, now is the time for the church to say, Lord, anoint us afresh. Cause us to lay down all our experience, all our ideas and precepts and concepts, even some of our theology, Lord. We've made it too great. We just want to get back to your heart, Father. See, when you get to heaven, God's not going to look at you and say, God, what a theologian. You understood all that stuff about Mephibosheth. Woo! It's not going to happen. He's going to look and go, good and faithful servant, you are no stranger to me because I resided with you all those years through my spirit. Come on in, girlfriend. Get in there. Amen? That's what he's going to say. But it's a personal thing. And it's for his glory. David's great strength, he didn't take the glory for himself. He was conscious of being a team player. David knew to be a part of a team. He looked after the men what were with him. He was dependent on them. And they were dependent on him. His relationship with Jonathan was a covenant relationship. All that I am, I give to you. It was like a marriage, a level of commitment between brothers. God used it to transform a nation and prepare a throne for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it is upon the throne of David. Let's just stand. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you. We love you, Lord. Father, you know our heart, you know our desires to serve you, to love you. Lord, we all want to do something great. We all want to be significant in your kingdom. Father, we all want to be called by name. We all want to be noticed by you. But Father, I pray this morning, Lord God, that we would move from experience, that we would move into a new book, not a new chapter, but a new book. That Father, you would change our relationship with you, and you would expose yourself to us. You're so vast and so great, it's impossible to know anything of who you are almost. But Lord, even this morning we ask that you would expose yourself to us in a new way, to learn stuff about your heart and your personality that we've not yet come across, Lord. to be exposed to your presence for the sake of your presence, Lord God. Not for the sake of manifestations or the glory cloud, but because of the intimacy with you, to know you, to know you, that you would declare after us, these are a people after my own heart. I ask, Father, that you would release a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit this morning in this church, in the lives of these people, a freshness, Lord God, a fresh hunger, a new desire, a different level of maturity that, Lord God, they're going to see with eyes they've not seen before. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, that you would be glorified in the life of your church, that your will be done, that your personality would be glorified, that you would be honored, you would be revered. Father, we've beaten our lions and we've beaten our bears, but there are always Goliaths on the horizon, taking one shape or another. And I pray, Father God, that you will anoint us so that we have the confidence to take out the Goliath in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Because it's from the anointing that he's been dealt with and slain. In Jesus' name. We glorify you, Lord. And this morning, I know that word, that scripture was already shared in the ministry time before the service. That tells me God is speaking.
Yes.
God is speaking. God is speaking. Hallelujah. Now I'm just going to pray with you and for you with the ministry team. If you want to respond this morning, if you want to say, do you know what? Yeah, I need a new book, not a new chapter. Some of us have got...